God is good, and all the time. Psalm 100 verse 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Good evening, everyone. I am delighted to see you. I really am. I say it often. I mean it each time I say it, because God is listening. I am delighted to see you, and I am very honored to be the one to break the bread of life to you night after night during this week, which is fast coming to a close. Tomorrow is Friday, by the way, for those of you who are keeping track of the time. God is good, and all the time. Loving Father in heaven, thank you for bringing us all safely through the day up to this point. We thank you, dear God, for the free availability of your word. We thank you, Father, we reached this point, incident or incident. We ask you now in the name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior, if we have offended you in any way, forgive us, dear Father, through the blood of your Son. It is my duty, dear God, to deliver the words of life. And I ask you earnestly, grant me the words to speak. Grant me a measure of your Spirit, Father, that I may represent the truth aright. I humble myself before you. My desire is that you will receive all the glory. Grant to us the blessing. In a very special way, Father, bless our visitors, I pray. If there are services going on anywhere else around this area, let your Spirit be present, Father. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, amen and amen. Our subject for this evening, a heavy responsibility. What did I say? What was our subject on Monday night? Who do you think you are? Tuesday night. Do you see what I see? Wednesday night. Say it clearly. Motive before motion, yes. God judges the heart, not the action. The heart first. And tonight? A heavy responsibility. Genesis 12, let's read from verse 1. We're reading from the King James Version of the Bible. Genesis 12, reading from verse 1. A heavy responsibility. God bless my little sisters in the front pew for writing. I am so happy to see that. Genesis, written by Moses, chapter 12, reading from verse 1. When you found it, say amen. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. One of the most important passages in the entire Bible is Genesis 12, 1-3. Notice what God says in verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. The Bible says, if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3:31. If ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, meaning that spiritually, everyone who gives the life to Christ is a seed or a child or a descendant of Abraham, spiritually. If this is the case, what God told Abraham in Genesis 12, 1-3 is for the children of Abraham. Thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3 ends this way, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Abraham was called to be a blessing. You and I are placed on this earth to be a blessing. Come on, say amen. Which means We are not on this earth for our own sake. Now keep in mind what we talked about during the subject, do you see what I see? God, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God does not think the way we think. And in order for us to walk in step with God, we must change our thinking to correspond with the mind of God. Is that clear? Now, in God's view, in God's system, according to the principles of heaven, no one is given life for the person's sake. You are on this earth for the sake of someone else. Let me say differently. You and I were put on this earth to be a blessing to someone else. This is the Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. Let's go there quickly. This also applies to non-living things. This principle that nothing exists for itself. Genesis 1, reading from verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let it be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. The sun, the moon, and the stars were made to give light upon the earth. They were not made for themselves. They were made to divide the day from the night, to demarcate the seasons, and to give light on the earth. That's why they were put in the firmament. They were not put there for themselves. So this principle applies both to human beings, to animals, and to non-living things. Listen to this powerful quotation, The Desire of Ages, page 19, page 20, paragraph 2. What's that reference? Page 20, paragraph 2. There is nothing save the selfish heart of man that lives unto itself. No bird that cleaves the air, no animal that moves upon the ground, but ministers to some other life. There is no leaf of the forest or lowly blade of grass, but has its ministry. Every tree and shrub and leaf pours forth that element of life without which neither man nor animal could live. And man and animal in turn minister to the life of tree and shrub and leaf. The flowers breathe fragrance and unfold their beauty in blessing to the world. The sun sheds its light to gladden a thousand worlds. The ocean, itself the source of all our springs and fountains, receives the streams from every land, but takes to give. The mist ascending from its bosom fall in showers to water the earth, that it may bring forth and bud. What is the writer saying? The writer is saying, this leaf has a ministry. Now when you listen to that with a worldly mind, your first instinct may be to laugh. This flower was made to serve a purpose. Every blade of grass was created to serve a purpose. And I am driving this point home because we're about to get to a very serious level in the subject, a heavy responsibility. Let me put it into one sentence. Everything created was created to serve something else. If that's clear, say amen. Which means I am not on this earth for myself. This was the way Jesus Christ lived. Listen to his words in John 8:29. Go there with me at 27 minutes after 7. Go there with me. John 8:29. Listen to the words of Jesus Christ. In those words are contained a principle by which he lived his life and by which we must live our lives. John 8:29. Read with me if you have my version. What does it say? And he that hath sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. Now, finish the verse. Read it microscopically. What does it say? For I do always those things that please him, not me. There is a lot of self-pleasing in the world and in the church. Jesus said, I do always those things that please him. Which means that Jesus never acted on a self-centered motive. I never said he never felt a motive. He never had one. He never acted. Every time Christ acted, every time he spoke, it was for the glory of the Father. He was on the earth for someone else's benefit. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Let's read verse 13. Our subject, a heavy responsibility. Matthew 5, reading from verse 13. The words of Jesus Christ. Thank you for finding those passages so quickly. Matthew 5, reading from verse 13. All right, I want my little sisters to find it. I'm so proud of them with their Bibles in their laps. Oh, that's the experience or the example. Now, before I read that verse, let's pray. Dear God, I need to stop and pray again. Please, give me clear speech. Help me to slow down. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew 5:13. Read with me. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under feet of men. Jesus said to the disciples, you are the salt of this earth. But if you don't function as salt, you are good for nothing. Verse 14. Ye are the light, not the light, yes, ye are the light of the world. Which means, remove the disciples and the world has no light. I didn't say that clearly. Let me try it again. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Amen. The world has no light of itself. Amen. Are you with me? Yes. It has to get its light from people whose minds are not of this world. Amen. Now this is expressed in creation. Go back to Genesis 1:14. Genesis 1:14. Do you have it? If you have my version, I love it when you read with me. The Bible says, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. Now, think with me. Where is the sun? Come on, quickly. In the heavens. Where is the moon? In the heavens. Where are the stars? In the heavens. Now, from where does the earth get its light? From heaven. You're not with me. You're not with me. Listen carefully. God said the sun, the moon, and the stars, one of their functions was to give light where? Upon the earth. God did not place a source of light on the earth. He placed it outside the earth. So the earth is dependent on heaven for its light. If that's clear, say amen. Amen. Now, listen to Jesus. Ye are the light of the world. Now go to John 17. John 17. Let's read verse 14 and verse 16 of John 17. And see that even today, the earth still gets its light from heaven. In the form of God's disciples. Do you have John 17? Verse 14.
Amen.
If you have my version, read it with me. I have what? Given unto them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Why? For they are not of the world. Come on. Even as I am not. Now Jesus said, they are not of this world. Now they're on the world physically, but their minds somewhere else. Look at verse 16. Read that for me nice and clear. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now Jesus says, ye are the light of the world. So the light for the world comes from people who are not of this world. Are you following me? Well, are you following the Bible? This is why we must separate ourselves from the things of the world. The fashion, the diet, the educational system, the health system, the way they conduct romance, the way they handle money. We must separate ourselves from the way the world functions, because Jesus said, ye are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. And so the world looks to heavenly people for light. Now, if the light does not shine, the world is in trouble. And God holds those responsible who should have allowed that light to shine. Are you following me? Now, keeping this in mind, a heavy responsibility, let us go to Matthew 28. We'll read from verse 18. Let's read from verse 19. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, keep going, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, keep going, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now when Philip went up to the chariot of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? You know what the Ethiopian eunuch said? How can I understand, come on, if someone does not explain it? This must be explained by a child of God. And if the children of God do not explain, the world is deprived of life-giving information. Now, go to Ezekiel 3. Ezekiel 3. Is that Brother Drummond I see? God bless you, my handsome brother. Ezekiel 3. Let's read from verse 18. A heavy responsibility. And I want you to read very carefully. And read with me. What book did I say? What chapter? Reading from what verse? 18. When you found it, say amen. Let's read together. When I say, wicked, thou shalt surely die. Come on. And thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked ways to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. Now finish the verse. But his blood will I require at thy hand. God says, I will hold you responsible for the fact that he's lost. Now, is that a heavy responsibility? Yes. The salvation of others is to some degree where? In our hands. Verse 19. Yet, read with me, if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. Finish the verse. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Why? Because you warned him. In some countries, certainly the United States, if you see a crime being committed, someone being killed, and you just stand by and watch as though you're at a soccer game, you can be charged with a crime for doing nothing. You're charged with a crime. And God charges us with the crime of the death of others when we do not function as light an assault. It's a heavy responsibility. Verse 20. Again, read with me. When a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die in his sin. Why? Because thou hast not given him warning. Come on. And his sin and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. Finish the verse. But his blood will I require at thy hand. A heavy responsibility. And this is no joke. God will ask parents, where are your children? God will ask some husbands, the priest of the home, where is your wife? God will ask ministers, where is the church? Why didn't you teach them? Verse 21. Read with me. Nevertheless, come on. If thou warn them and he doth not sin, he shall surely live. Why? Because he's warned. Finish the verse. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. He shall live because he is warned. The Bible holds us responsible. When we do not issue the words of life, we're held responsible for those who are lost. Now, this is not meant to depress you. It is meant to wake you up, to realize you and I have a serious responsibility. Now, I'm a preacher, and people watch me. People watch you. People ask me, do you go to the movies? No. One reason, of course, it has no spiritual value. The other is, I don't want someone seeing me in a movie house and feel it is okay to go to the movies. You understand me? So if I had to go to the movies, as I always say, I would go to a movie house in an erupting volcano where no one else goes. That's where I'd go. Are you following me? Because no one would see me. So if you know a movie house, an erupting volcano, not extinct, it must be erupting, then I'll go. Because no one will see me. There's some little girl watching you the way you dress. Some 8-year-old girl quietly watches some women the way they dress. Revealing outfits. Too short, too tight. They don't say anything, but they watch you. When they become adults, they may dress just like you. You know who's responsible for that? You. God made two adults. Everyone else comes into the world how? As a baby, affected by the influences of the environment, including Jesus. Let me say it again. God made two adults. He arranged for everyone else to come as a baby and to grow up in an environment with various influences impacting that person. I am largely who I am because of my mother. Always saw her praying. She loved God. And that's all I saw. And that had an effect on me. I love memorizing the Bible because as a boy, there was an elder in my church. He always preached without looking. And I was a little boy and I watched him. And it had a tremendous effect on me. And I said, I want to do that. Now, when I stand in a pulpit, I say, Father, I hope some little boy, finish my words, will say, I want to do that. I don't want some little boy to say, I want to sell drugs like Randisky. I want to rob the jeepney like Randisky. I want to steal like Randisky. Are you following me? Because that happens. We have a heavy responsibility for others. Now, in the last few minutes, what does that have to do with business? Your first responsibility on this earth is not to set up a business. It's to serve others. Come on, I need more amens.
Amen.
Salam at Paul. Listen again. Your first responsibility on this earth is service. Now you understand that and you ask yourself, now how can I serve? I can serve as a nurse. So let me be what kind of nurse? The best nurse I can be. And you check your abilities, you check your temperament, you listen to your parents, you listen to all the members of the church, and you realize you should be a pastor. How will I serve as a pastor? And so I study the word to be what kind of pastor? The best I can be. Because I want to serve. And you look at yourself, and you listen to others, you're inspired by someone. How can I serve? I will open a store that sells parts for motorcycles or cars. That's what I will do. I will serve that way. You and I are on this earth to serve. And so from the standpoint of business, your business must be a means of bringing people to Christ. When you walk into a supermarket, those groceries are not arranged haphazardly. Are you listening to me? The cereals that appease the little children are never on the top shelves. They're on the bottom shelf. Eye level with the child. At every checkout, there are little things you can buy in case you forgot. Those stores are arranged very strategically to get you to do what? Spend. Are you listening to me? Now you set up your business. You must be strategic. What will be on the wall? What music will I play? How will I dress? What is the environment like? Is it neat and clean and organized and appealing to the eye? You think, why? Because I am on the earth to be a blessing.
Amen.
You know, I was in Uganda, a place I go quite often. I'm going in April. And the house where I was staying, I had to drive by a Mormon church. And the first time I saw it, when I first went to Uganda, 2000, I saw this church, and it was nice, neat, the lawns nicely cut, the walls nicely painted, everything neat. And I thought to myself, just by looking at that building, I want to join that church. Are you following me? No grass growing wild and garbage. Everything neat, the lawns cut, the walls, everything neat. And the effect on me was, you know, I would join that church if I didn't know. Are you listening to me? And wherever I go and I see a Mormon church, they're not lavish, but they're neat. And when I don't know any Mormons, my conclusion is, they must be special people. Are you following me? Just by the way the buildings look. You have a business. What's the first impression on people when they walk in? You have to decide that. And the impression must be a spiritual one. Because you have a heavy responsibility, whatever your area of service, to think evangelistically. By the way, those of you in college, it applies to you. Let me tell you something severe and extreme and harsh. An Adventist student in a secular school must be there for evangelism first. The degree is the pretext. Is that a big word? The degree is the quiet, hidden reason for you to have access to the school. But your primary purpose is evangelism. How many of my colleagues can I win? Can I arrange a Bible study, a prayer group, a support group for students who are struggling? What can I do to point people in the direction of Jesus Christ and His saving truth? Everything we do, because we are on this earth for the salvation of souls. And when we fail, the Bible is clear. God says, I will require their blood at your hand. Which means, We can either point someone to heaven or point someone to hell. Two choices. Listen to these two quotations. Counsels on Health, page 287, paragraph 3. What did I say? Well, but I gave a page. 287, what paragraph? 3. Here's what it says. Listen carefully. Every soul that fails to obtain the victory carries others down with him through his influence. In other words, everyone who is lost will be responsible for one of the person being lost at least. That's frightening. Here's another quotation. Last Day Events, page 282, paragraph 3. There will be no one saved in heaven with a starless crown. If you enter, there will be some soul in the courts of glory who has found an entrance there through your instrumentality. So what we're faced with is either I'm responsible for someone being lost or for someone being saved, and the choice is mine. When you and I understand that we're not on this earth for ourselves, it changes every single thing. You don't live by this rule, I do what I want. No, you live by the rule, I do what's a blessing for others. And so God has chosen to use us to tell people about Christ. He could have sent angels. He chose to send you and me, and to fall down in that duty, whether as a student or a business person, is to commit a crime against humanity. When Jesus Christ comes back, let no one in the flames of hell say, it's because of you. Let people in the city say, I thank God for your life. That's why I'm here. If I enter that city, of course Christ is number one. But I look for my mother and thank God for her. Make up your mind to carry that heavy responsibility. Whatever your position in life, is your girlfriend closer to Christ since she became your girlfriend? Does she read the Bible more? Or is the relationship taking her this way because of you? Is your boyfriend closer to Christ because of you? We have to think. Is your wife more miserable because of you, or is she happier? Is the Philippines a better nation because they're Adventists? Amen. Are you following me? Amen. Is this a better nation because they're Adventists, or can we do without them? Is Pasay a blessed place because of Pasay? May God bless you for saying yes. This is serious. When the angels came to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot said, let me go to that little city. The angel said, okay. But the angel said, move from where you are, because as long as you're standing where you are, I cannot destroy. Which means the child of God is a preserver, not a destroyer. Are people blessed because of you? There's a prayer I've been praying for several years now, and I say, Father, go to every man and every woman over whom I have exerted a negative influence, and please reduce the effect of that influence, that no one is lost because of me. You and I have what kind of responsibility? A heavy responsibility. The salvation of souls is in some way connected with how we conduct our lives. I want you to make a commitment tonight. Say, Father, help me to so live that there will be people in the kingdom because of me. How many of you will make that commitment? Can I see your hand? Help me to so live that there will be people saved because of me. Stand with me, please. It's a very, very serious matter. Someone lost because of me. I tell God I prefer to die than stand in a pulpit and deliberately preach error. Let me say it again. I tell God I prefer to die than to stand in a pulpit or anywhere else and deliberately preach error. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Dear God, because of the carnal nature, our first impulse is to look out for us. But through the power of conversion, dear God, a genuinely converted person, that person's focus becomes somebody else, which was the focus Jesus had, which is the principle by which people live in heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear God, forgive us for focusing on self and not realizing the salvation of countless thousands is dependent upon how we conduct ourselves. We have a heavy responsibility. And the price you paid for salvation, the life of your Son, is so heavy that when we do not live as we should, you will call us to account. Father in heaven, none of us wants anyone's blood on our hands. As the Apostle Paul said, wherefore I call you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. And then he gave the reason, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Please, God, help us to understand that in everything we do, we must think as soul winners. Whether we preach directly or just by the way we do what we do, let us think of the effect on others. Because their salvation is in some way affected by our behavior. Forgive us, Father, where we've fallen short, and grant us the Spirit of Christ, that we may say as Jesus said, he that hath sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And the things that please God are the things that save souls. Now bless us, Father. Bless every man, woman, boy, and girl. Bless every family. A double blessing on the children, Father, and on our guests. As we travel, let us travel mindful of our influence. Bring us back tomorrow, Father, to listen to your word again. And let us be different people when we assemble tomorrow, different from what we are tonight. Hear this humble prayer, Father. Thank you for loving us. We love you today, God. Accept us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry, as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.